Last Wednesday of March Madness, we start off with a Gamecock baseball win, snapping a five-game losing streak, 5-4 last night over Davidson, where you could argue the top three hitters this season, and guys certainly who have been, I think, 1, 2, and 3 in the lineup, were not involved in the ballgame for the Gamecocks. So Carolina ends up winning 5-4. They get a home run. They get everything but a triple, short of a cycle from Justin Rowe, who was inserted in the lineup, one of the guys that taking advantage of some extra playing time. It's a home run, a two-run home run that gives the Gamecocks a 5-2 lead. Hunter Taylor also a home run behind the plate there, and the Gamecocks end up holding on. Eddie Demirius gets his second save of the season. Never a good sign, Bill, when we're a couple of days away from April, where your preseason closer now just has two saves this far into the season, basically halfway. But good news for Mark Kingston and company, bouncing back from a five-game losing streak, bouncing back from the disappointment at Georgia to get in the win column before starting their third SEC series of the season against Tennessee Thursday night.
Well, never a good sign for South Carolina baseball as a program when, I don't want to say we're celebrating a win over Davidson, but it's kind of the big story is breaking that five-game losing streak and continuing on. But that's where they are right now. And, you know, Mark Kingston talking about it last night with some injuries. I know that for South Carolina fans, it feels like that this has been a common theme now for a few years running where the major players, the big-time players, have injuries. And, you know, it's odd. I think you said it yesterday, and maybe there's some karma to it. All the breaks that went South Carolina's way for so long between 2010 and really even 2013 when they got back and played Arizona. And then even the next year, if you remember, they got back and played North Carolina in the Super Regional, Chad Holbrook's first year. That was a miraculous, really, run that they went on there for about 4 years. But it's been this way now, and they've got to find a way to kind of get things going. Last night's a good start. It gives you a little bit of confidence, makes you hopefully forget about that five-game losing streak, and now you've got a series at home. Should be very good weather over the weekend. Should be some decent crowds and a chance maybe to slowly find yourself and build a little confidence.
Big rule change in the NFL about lowering your head. Now the NFL is going to call a 15-yard penalty if you're a defensive player and you lower your head for helmet-to-helmet contact. No, this one was a little unexpected. We've talked about it a bunch through the most recent months, where we continue to get more information about CTE and in college football, significant rule changes, several years ago, where you had the targeting and the immediate ejection, and you could at least replay it and then bring the guy back. And this one is similar. Actually, it's probably more far-reaching than what the NCAA does. You cannot lower your head to initiate and make contact with your helmet if you're a defensive player, also if you're a ball carrier. This, to me, is going to be really interesting to see how it affects football. We're talking about the future of football, and some people say football will be gone in 10 years or whatever year number they put on it, and only flag football will survive. And it is certainly a legitimate concern for a lot of parents out there, whether they're going to put their kids into football. We've seen states try to ban football until a certain age. My sister lives up in Maryland. I think they had to vote on it relatively recently. I know California has voted whether or not to outlaw football, full contact football, obviously, to a certain age. The NFL doing this is a strong message, I think, for the game. I think it's probably it's a good message moving forward for the game's health that they're not afraid to make a bold move like this. But it's going to be interesting to see how this affects football moving forward, Bill, because when I think of football, I think of lowering your head as a ball carrier as a good thing. Like, that's what you do to get extra yards. You lower your head and you pick up the first down, and that's what you got to do, especially in the NFL. Now that this thing is going to be illegal, it's going to change the way that I think a lot of us look at football and see the game being played, or understand the game to be played in its proper way.
You know, my opinion on football, having never played and zero experience, is that you just can't change the game. It is what it is. We know what it is. It's a violent, physical sport, and you're right. You can't. There are certain things about football you just simply can't change the rules. I get trying to make it safer and all the concussions and CTE and all that. I hate to say it's a sport that is a rough, rugged sport. We have the option to play. It's a great thing about our country. You can be 6'5 and 260 pounds and run a 4.6 40 and be an amazing freak athlete, and nobody says, you know what? You got to play. You got to go play football. That's what you have to do. You have that option. I'm with you. I think the game itself, I get that. I like this, that they're at least trying to do something. But with the rule, you can't do it. I don't. How are you going to enforce that? You know, like you just kind of like you just said, 3rd and 2, 4th and 1, you give the ball to the running back and he's trying to bulldoze his way in there and get that critical yard because, you know, he kind of likes his paycheck because he does what he does very well.
How are you going to determine whether you lowered your head to fall forward and get more yards or you did it to initiate contact? That's going to be the
I guess my thought is it's going to be like an open field rule. An open field where you swing a pass out or you're in the open field and it's a one-on-one situation. And my guess, again, the way I kind of read this and the way I kind of try to interpret it and figure out how they're going to call this is it's going to be an open field, one-on-one type situation where a running back or a wide receiver could make a play and try and go around the defender, but instead decides to lower his head and go right through the defender. There's no way, right? There's no way you can call this if it's a running back running between the tackles, right?
Well, you can call it. It would seem to be happening on every play.
Right.
It's funny, Derek Carr, the Raiders quarterback, sent a tweet out last night. He's like, I think he was to Adam Schefter. He's like, does this apply to quarterback sneaks? Asking for a friend.
Yeah.
I mean, isn't that the craziest thing? Like, one of the indelible images in my mind from Gamecock football through the years is Connor Shaw, like, finding a way to pick up an extra yard or two by falling forward and kind of lowering his head into contact. I mean, that guy did not shy away from contact. I never saw it as him using his helmet as a weapon, which is what this rule is designed to prevent.
Right.
And it's kind of taking that crown of the helmet rule that the NFL has had for a while to the next level. It'll be interesting to see what happens there.
Well, you say that the funny one was always Steve Spurrier so upset with Steven Garcia for, you know, fans loved it. Oh, he's playing tough. He lowers his head and he goes in there and he's got to get the extra yard and we love that. And that's what makes you Achilles, and that's what makes you this great warrior on the football field. And Steve Spurrier would go, please stop doing that. It's not how, because that's not how Spurrier played quarterback.
Yeah, but also he would hate a quarterback who slid, too, because he'd lose a yard. Yeah. So it was a very fine line about exactly how to get down, as Spurrier used to say it back in the day. But I mean, I'm 40 years old. I can only imagine how a guy, Spurrier's turning 73, or I believe he's 73, and there's recent news that he might come to the spring game this Saturday because he's going to be in town for a charity golf tournament on Friday. There was also a recent story that linked him to possibly coaching in this new spring league, I think, this new professional league. So he's been in the news. But I can only imagine what he thinks about a rule like this. He's always been a progressive thinker in football, I feel like, but for old school guys, I would think they are shaking their heads at this new helmet lowering rule. But we'll see. Interesting thoughts from the Players Association president Eric Winston is his name. He says the league will continue to pass rules and fine players more with the hope that things will change. But meaningful change will happen only when everyone, players, coaches, owners, share responsibility in making the game as safe as possible. So that's one. Certainly one important person weighing in on the new rule change in the NFL. We've got more to talk about than just baseball and football this morning. We are in the middle of March Madness, so we got the Final Four coming up this weekend. You watched a little bit of the old NIT Final Four last night?
It was on. It was kind of like some action last night. It was on. I was doing some things and kind of what I hope was prepping for warmer weather, but it was on. And every once in a while I would glance up.
How do you prep for warmer weather?
Started looking at the Margarita Festival in Tampa in May. Started looking at whether I wanted to go to the Heritage here in, I think, about 2-3 weeks, April 14th, 15th, 16th, trying to map out the five-year-old soccer games are coming up.
Uh-huh.
So I was starting to map out some weekends and look ahead, figure I got a big number 36 birthday coming up here in May. You got to start mapping out what you're doing, start prepping.
That's not even next month. What a planner this guy is.
Wow. No
yeah, I am. I was texting with somebody last night, and the conversation kind of came up. I was like, yeah, I can pretty much tell you every weekend, basically through about the end of August. And then I've got August, and then all of a sudden I can tell you every weekend through the end of the year.
Well, you're getting your tailgate menu ready, too?
Just, man, you start to make plans, start to get excited. You prep
for
warmer weather.
You,
yeah, I know. The response I got in the text message was, boy, we're the complete opposite. I just wing it. It's like, well, I kind of wing it, too. It's just I know what's going on. I started looking for some. There's the crawfish festival coming up. Got to be ready for that. I mean, yeah, you got to prep. Got to know what's going on. Man of town.
Okay.
How many canned goods and bottled waters do you have in the basement?
Oh yeah, no. If something bad happened, though, we wouldn't be prepped
just
at all.
Testing your level of preparedness.
Get the boat ready, man.
I guess
be ready.
He's planning.
Oh, that's your plan.
Yeah,
if the apocalypse hits.
Nah, just
get on the boat. Never heard that plan.
Go to where the party's at and wait for my time.
Okay. Penn State, Utah, playing for the NIT championship.
No,
they moved on.
What I was going to say is I looked up last night, and it was 13-9, I think, or 12-7. It was something that was very, very low at the end of it. Said one, and I was like, "What an awful game!" This. Oh wait, new rules. That's right. It's only the end of the first quarter because
the NIT rules
forgot that they had changed. And now I wish I'd have watched a little bit more because they have some of the new rules that they want to try out, but. Yeah, it looked up at one point. I was like, man, this is a brutal game. Thank goodness I'm not watching that. But Utah knocks off Western Kentucky. And
by five.
Yeah, it was kind of entertaining. Kind of entertaining.
Penn State strong over Mississippi State by 15, 75-60, that final score. So we got some scores. We got some sports news. Eric Wolford, the Carolina offensive line coach, talking yesterday. More Gamecock talk leading up to Saturday's spring game will be coming. We can get into pad level if you would like to talk pocket integrity. All we're your guys.
Are you pulling for? Is your preferred national champion Loyola Chicago? Is that who you'd like to see just run this thing on out and take
absolutely.
It on home?
Okay.
All right.
I mean, what percentage do you think that is? I think that's got to be a high percentage. Right
I would
now.
Imagine it's the majority of. If you're not a fan of any of the other three teams, that's exactly. I got to admit, I don't really have a rooting interest. I would like some good games.
I thought you were a Michigan fan. Make up your mind.
I am a Michigan fan, but it doesn't, like, I guess when I say that, my week will not be defined next week by what Michigan does. I don't have a rooting interest to where I will come in here on Tuesday morning going, or Monday morning, if somebody gets knocked out of the Final Four on Saturday afternoon and be very upset. I like Jalen Brunson. I remember covering Jalen Brunson was one of the last players I covered when I was doing a scouting service. A lot of people thought he would end up going to Illinois and went to Villanova kind of at the last minute.
Good call by him.
Yeah. Michigan, obviously, is a team that I pulled for a lot with the Fab Five and knowing them early on. And that was kind of my introduction into college basketball. So, yeah, I do pull for them. But I wonder what the best ratings would end up being. I'm guessing the best ratings would end up being Michigan and Villanova, maybe.
Oh, I think Loyola versus Kansas. I mean, you're talking about, that is David versus Goliath, man.
You think that? I don't know. That's why I asked that. I don't know how many people would say, yeah, I'm pulling for Loyola, but I'm not going to watch or I'm not as interested. I don't know if the underdog story continues to carry on to the viewership ratings. And I'll also say this. I think as good as this tournament has been, you kind of mentioned it, we haven't gotten some of the great games. We've gotten some. When you play 63 games over the course of a tournament, you're going to get some good ones. But even like there's been a lack of buzzer, because I'd just like to see some really good games over the last.
You're talking about games? You're talking about finishes?
Games. We've got some good games. I mean,
Duke-Kansas, the last one we just saw, is about
again,
as good as
if you
have,
play
right?
63 of them, you're going to get some. Look, there's been, three out of the four Loyola's been involved with have been really good games.
Close finishes.
Loyola hit, I think, I don't want to say two buzzer beaters. I know they hit one, but I think the one against Tennessee technically wasn't a buzzer beater. But we've gotten some really good games, but I would like to see that this weekend, and I think we could end up getting it.
High standards, man. Best tournament that I can remember, just from a multifaceted way. Now, maybe you can't say that until the thing's done with and the Final Four has three uninteresting games, then it turns the way you think about this tournament for sure. But I'm hoping that, based on what we've seen so far, it sets up to be a great Final Four. Jen, what do you think? Pulling for Loyola Chicago, being a Butler fan? Do you see some Butler in Loyola?
Yeah, a little bit. You know, it's not a big school, you know, or hasn't. And I don't know, just the fact that they've been the unlikely choice. You know,
sure.
I just think it's don't know, kind of fun.
Certainly not the traditional powerhouse. Feel like people latched onto Brad Stevens a little bit during the Butler runs.
Absolutely.
Just because he just looked kind of out of place as a young guy on the sideline. Maybe
he still looks out of place.
Yeah, as a Celtics coach for sure.
Who do you consider to be the biggest Cinderella of recent years? Would it be Butler? Would it have been George Mason, VCU, Wichita State? I mean, you think about these teams. Is it Loyola? Is it?
Absolutely it is now. Yeah, you throw in the sister Jean element.
What do you mean, absolutely it is now? George Mason, to me, it comes down to two. VCU had always kind of been there. Anthony Grant really kind of got that program up and going and running, and they were being successful, and I don't want to say a scary program, but you were kind of aware of VCU, and then they made the big run with Shaka Smart. Greg Marshall and Wichita, I think we kind of knew. I don't know.
These are big state schools you're talking about, though. And that's the difference to me. This is a small private school that has a 98-year-old nun as its chaplain who has kind of taken the forefront and in the storyline.
You say it like that, but I mean, George, it's got to be George Mason or Loyola, right?
I mean, those are the two that are the biggest.
I mean, both are, I don't remember what George, I think George was at 11 seed, George Mason. But, I mean, those have got to be, when you talk about it, Butler obviously was, Butler going all the way to the championship game was the surprise. It was one thing to see him in the Final Four and to kind of followed up.
A Gordon Hayward half-court shot shy of winning the national championship, Sergeant.
And I do feel like Butler lost some of its Cinderella status when they repeated it, when they went back, everybody went, whoa.
That's why it changes the story now. Mm-hmm. And the George Mason one does stick out as a one-year deal. And I think this Loyola Chicago one, very similar in that they come out of nowhere. And just a smaller kind of private school. I think that's what George Mason is. I'm not positive on that. But wanted to give you details on this. So the exact polar opposite of Loyola Chicago and a Cinderella run of the New York Yankees, right?
Yeah.
I mean, 27, I think, World Series championships and had a heck of a year. Seemed like they're really set up now to be back in the forefront of Major League Baseball for a long time. And then they add Giancarlo Stanton in this offseason in classic Yankees fashion. Go out and get the best player in baseball and pay him whatever he wants to get paid. Add him to Aaron Judge. I mean, go down the list. They got a bunch of guys. Apparently, they have the technology. Apparently, this exists. So, like, I'm not a Starbucks guy. I'm not one of these fancy. But apparently, I forget the first time I saw it. They put, like, a leaf in the foam of some of these coffees or mochiatos or whatever. Apparently, now they can put your face, and this is what the Yankees were doing. They put the faces of their players in the beer foam of the beer at Yankee Stadium. Like the hats, everything. Basically what you would see from a bust in Canton, that's what they could put in the beer foam. I'm looking at the picture right now. I've retweeted it. It's amazing like that you can look at these players, and apparently this is against a Major League Baseball policy, by the way, that a player's likeness cannot be used to sell an alcoholic beverage or to promote it, to advertise any of that. So, and the Yankees, of course, went back on and said, oh, no, we were just testing it out. We didn't have any plans of actually doing this. This is just a thing. So that makes me think that they'll just move this to, like, have Babe Ruth on there and Mickey Mantle, right? If you don't, it just current players is the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that one of the weirdest things ever? Like, I'm drinking a Babe Ruth beer?
Well, but
I don't think I want them in my face.
But I mean, like,
what about their face and your face?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, guys, I mean, it's not like it. You take a sip and the foam is
and then
messed
it's gone,
up.
Right?
Like, it's not. You're not sitting there looking at it for three innings going, this is really cool.
Right?
Like,
it's such a weird novelty.
It is an extremely weird novelty. And look, I was going back those tweets and just going back through some of the things Darren Revell, because baseball, getting people. We talk about the declining attendance in college football. Getting people to baseball games has got to be the hardest marketing or PR campaign in all of sports right now, right? Because, I mean, I went to a hockey game back in February with my son Austin, and it's not high scoring, but there's action. There is a lot of action involved with the puck and with people skating and hitting the glass, and it's kind of easy to stay very involved with that. Soccer, it's not a lot of scoring, but it can really slow down. Football, again, the way that they're kind of doing the timeouts and everything, that game has started to slow down. And basketball, I think, college basketball in particular, the way they're trying to figure out the officiating and games can all of a sudden hit a real low, and all of a sudden it can get very dull. But baseball, the pace of play, the patience you got to have.
In a social media 21st century world, yeah.
I mean, to
Most
me.
Most difficult, no doubt.
We talk about, like, it's funny with with everything that goes on with football. We're talking about better seats, better Wi-Fi, better amenities at concessions. That's exactly what baseball is doing. Again, I was going over Darren Revelle's tweets and some of these new ballpark item things that he's got here. This is for the Iron Pigs, which is a minor league team. Fried cheesecake bites. That's not that out of left field, right? But then he's got some of these other ones. I like the tater tot wagon, or what is he called? This is at the Yankees game. Tater kegs. Jumbo tater tots with sour cream, cheddar cheese, bacon bits, scallions, served on a skewer.
Mm-hmm. That sounds interesting. So basically that's a potato on a stick?
Yes, a tater tot on a stick. One basically elongated tater tot on a stick.
I think you have reached the pinnacle of your fame when your face shows up in beer foam. Isn't that now going to be the new goal for a lot of people, to have your face, your smiling face with a baseball hat in beer foam? And that's going to be a selling point. No, you're not buying that one, Jen.
No.
You telling me in NASCAR, if they start putting the drivers or cars in, on the beers they sell, it'd be hard to get it on the cans.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
The draft beers in the foam.
Yeah, I'd rather see it on the cup than the foam, because it's gonna go away. You know,
souvenir cup. I'm with you. I mean, that's always kind of, is that still a novelty? I feel like when I was growing up in the 80s, I guess, in the 90s, when I would go to, if I went to a Braves game, or if I went to something big, go around and
it's old news, man. It's all in the foam.
Well, you kind of say that. It's funny. The two things you still see when I go to Williams-Brice Stadium is the little kids at the end of the game who will go around and picking up everybody's towels.
They're right, the towel.
Oh. Like, you've got the kid who's got, like, the 74 towels, and the mom or the dad behind him going, well, we're doing a bunch of laundry tonight, aren't we? And, or they're collecting the souvenir cups, and they've got, like, the stack of 300 cups, and it's tilting over to the right and about to take out a whole section of people there as they're walking out of the stadium. But
great. 7-year-old smells like beer. Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I'm trying to explain that to the police officer on the ride home.
No, it just smells like Williams-Brice. That's all.
Just some other things real quick. The Yankees, this is from Darren Revelle. They've got four different types of milkshakes this year. One of them has a milkshake, but then it has two pieces of brownie, a cookie, whipped cream, and M&M's on top, I believe, or a form of M&M. They're also selling thick-cut bacon that you can order this year. So, again, the Yankees,
I'm getting hungry.
Whatever you can do to get people in the stands.
You got to continue to stick your face in the fan and like it.
But don't lower your head in the NFL anymore. How are football coaches going to coach with a new rule that says you can't lower your head in the NFL to create the contact? I guess I'll be interested to see how this thing gets officiated moving forward. But that's the new rule in the NFL, kind of coming out of nowhere to a large degree, kind of expanding on the crown of the helmet rule that they've had for a while. But we'll be interested to see. This is more like the targeting rule and kind of goes past that, with the NFL lowering your head to initiate contact is the new rule passed yesterday. That's how we start hour number two. Hope your Wednesday's off to a good start. Good for the Gamecock baseball team to get back in the win column last night. 5-4, the final score over Davidson. A home run from Hunter Taylor and Justin Rowe. Rowe also adding a single and a double last night. And they get a good outing from freshman Logan Chapman. Best outing of his early Carolina career. The freshman goes 5 innings, strikes out 6, does give up a couple of runs. And Davidson came back from a 5-2 deficit after the Justin Rowe home run, kind of opened things up to make things much more interesting. They got those two runs in the 8th inning, but Eddie Demirius shuts it down and gets 6 outs, the last 6 outs of the ball game. And Carolina gets the 5-4 win. Demirius getting his second save on the season. Now Carolina improves to 14-11 heading into this weekend, or the Thursday, Friday, Saturday series against Tennessee. Let you hear from Mark Kingston as we roll on this morning. We just mentioned it in the last hour. The New York Yankees tried to put images of their players, a lot like, I guess, the coffee houses do with some kind of designs or whatever they do in foam that they have with their fancy drinks. Apparently, the Yankees were trying to do this with their players, putting their faces in the beer foam at Yankee Stadium. And Major League Baseball said, oh, yeah, you can't do that because you can't have current players endorsing, advertising, promoting alcoholic beverages. So the Yankees just said, oh, no, we were just testing it out. But that has led to this morning's Frank's Discount Tire poll question. How would you prefer to be honored? A statue is an obvious one, and that's been mentioned for Asia Wilson here recently. It was always interesting to pose that to Steve Spurrier going back to the Swamp, going to play at a place as an opposing coach where there's a statue of you. Is kind of always, I always felt like Spurrier thought it was weird too. Like, I mean, how could you like have any kind of healthy humility and then think, the statue's cool. Like, I really like the statue, and then I think it's perfect. It's exactly what was necessary there. So statue is option number one, leading the early voting, by the way, how you would prefer to be honored. Street name is number two. We got Ray Tanner Way. We got the Don Staley Way here in town as well. You got picture in beer foam and bobblehead as other options at Tim Hill 107.5 on Twitter where you could go. What are you thinking, Jen?
Well, when you look at the whole thing with the David Bowie statue that just got...
What is that whole thing? Help me out.
They just put up a statue for him, and it's already been vandalized in less than 24 hours. It's like, feed the homeless, you know, so why are we putting money into this? You know,
where did they put the statue up?
I don't remember.
You're being very cultured. I'm guessing it's not in the United States?
Yeah, Aylesbury, so somewhere over.
We'll go call
over
it
yonder.
England.
Or this scroll across your Facebook and you saw this? I mean,
I saw it last night.
Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, something like that. But
I think I would give you a Gunter-like response from the David Bowie library, by the way. I got nothing. I just know he was in that one movie. It was The Labyrinth, I think. That's the only way I know, really, David Bowie. Nothing on The Labyrinth?
No.
Just that, and it's like always struck me as odd.
Yeah.
That's just growing up in the 80s.
Yeah. I had some pretty good music.
Do you know who David Bowie was? Or are you just looking at me as giving me a strange look?
Prior to what you just said about movies, I thought he was a musician.
Yeah, he is.
Okay.
He
was in a movie?
Yeah, that's how I got introduced.
Okay.
You remember the Bing Crosby duet he did for Christmas?
No. When was that, Jen?
I'm pretty sure.
Well, but I mean, it's been played over and over again.
What you're saying actually occurred. You weren't just pulling one of your NASCAR tricks that you pull where you throw out a fake. That what you just said happened?
Right. If I had to vote, a confidence vote on whether that was real or not, I would have gone with false.
Yeah, well. Like I was like, oh, she's tricking me again. And then she kind of kept going with the story. I was like, no, I think that one really happened.
Yeah, drummer boy. Yeah.
All right. Okay. Now, I went bobblehead doll.
I think that'd be pretty cool.
Finger forever, man. You're right. Statues. Ah.
No, bobblehead dolls are not forever. My father-in-law got one, actually got two, as a retirement gift.
Oh.
Right? I guess you can send a picture in, and they can personalize these things. Mm-hmm. So you've seen them from family members or whatever as well. And he's a nice guy, so he lets the grandkids play with them.
No,
best thing, you
right
can
off
order
the hardwood
more.
You floor. And
but now, you can order more?
Now he's got the armless one. Like, it had him playing golf because he likes to play golf on the bobblehead. So then it was weird. It was like, oh, he's armless, and there's still a golf motif going with this bobblehead. That doesn't make much sense.
Didn't work out well. Plus, with the bobblehead dolls, I'm in everybody's house, not just in one location.
Okay.
I can be on everybody's mantle and be like, I got the bobblehead doll.
See, to me, I guess it would be cool to, like, see your street name if you drive by it. But that's another thing, too. Like, I think if you really want a street named after you, you can make that happen to a large degree.
Well, you can do, like, if I've seen the kind of the rural roads that we have running,
you got
you
a family,
need to name it. Yeah, it can
be. You got a family who's been there for a while.
We up in Prosperity, we've got some property out on the lake, and so they had to name, it's O'Keefe Point Road, I believe. So it's, that's nothing. It's a street name. But the bobblehead doll, again, that's in everybody. That's a special. Beer foam, again, because you get that. And think about it. If I get an Aaron Judge beer foam, or if that's, and I turn around and I bump the guy behind me, my elbow just bumps him. Now I've just got foam.
Yep. Right. It's gone. Mm-hmm.
But that's probably going to be a thing now. I mean, we've seen, we did the Palmetto Health Children's Hospital fundraiser. One of the things they did leading up to the radiothon was the bowling down the street. Jen, you were there, right? Fortunately, you were nice enough not to whip me in bowling after you dominated early on, and then you took
it
easy
back.
On us. That was very nice.
That's what it was.
Mm-hmm. As part, like, this is a new deal over there on Main Street, the Grand, it's called. Mm-hmm. Pretty awesome place, right?
It is an awesome
place. And then downstairs they have what I think has become the trend in bars, where you have a place where you can push a button and you get a certain amount of beer, and you can have all the kind of beers you want. You just basically pay a fee per push of button, right, per ounces that you get.
Mm-hmm.
So isn't this going to be a thing now? Like, that's a more recent trend. in the beer. So I can see that them just adding a little camera right beside it. You take a picture of your face, and then I'm guessing they could put the foam right there in your own face eventually. If they can do it with Aaron Judge, surely they can do it with any picture.
And you know what? And then you see the people who have had one too many beers who, like, look at it too much and end up like a dog. You know, they see their reflection and then they put their face in the beer. You
well,
know?
I was just thinking the worst pickup line ever. Like, instead of buying buying a lady a random drink, you just hand them a drink with your face in it.
Or your phone number.
Oh.
Oh.
Yeah. Don't you see this? Don't you see this coming, Bill?
Where did this go? I do think that there's somebody, that I can guarantee there's somebody driving to work right now who thinks, what a stupid idea. You know what? I'm going to get to work and figure out how to patent that.
Or at home.
Patent the machine. You're right. Put it in the bowling alley. Like, at first, they were driving to work, and they were going, man, what are these morons talking about? This isn't sports. Face in a beer. Wait a minute. At a bowling alley? This is brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
If I can just get that machine to work, yeah.
Brandon's,
millionaire.
Brandon's got a good suggestion via the Shepherd's Glass inbox. He says he'd like to have a giant banner like the one they had of Spurrier back in the day on the side of Williams-Brice Stadium. It was like 70-plus feet,
right.
I believe, something like that. That would be solid.
Things haven't been the same for that program since.
Feel free to write in your own votes there. Shepherd's Glass inbox at Tim Hill 107.5, where you can officially vote on that poll question. To me, I wouldn't go with any of these four either. I like what Brandon went with, but I would go with something entirely different, something a little bit more tangible, because the statue is just out there, right? You're not getting a lot of benefit from that as a like if South Carolina puts up an Asia Wilson statue, like I think it would only just lead to uncomfortable moments for Asia Wilson personally. I mean, she's not getting like residuals off that or anything.
Yeah, that would just, I think that would just be weird.
If they name a street after you, like you mentioned the vandalism of the David Bowie statue, I'm sure people are going to steal the street sign or something. There's not a lot of great things coming from that. The picture in the beer foam, like you mentioned, Bill, very, very tenuous, like very,
it's
gone.
You do, right, take
so
a picture.
Here's
then
the question, when you get honored like that, are you thinking about yourself, or are you thinking about down the line and what your grandkids and their kids and the family can go back and point to? Because I get it. If I guess maybe the statue is there, that's probably, I can see where that'd be number one, because you're not really doing that for yourself, right?
Right.
You don't really care. Like you said with Spurrier, I'm pretty sure Spurrier doesn't take his grandkids down to Gainesville and go, all right, kids,
I know you see me, but here's a thing that kind of looks like me that doesn't move.
Yeah. I mean, but maybe you're not around and they walk by and they've got their friends who are like, oh, that's my granddad, or that's, you know.
Right.
So you're doing it. That's more, whereas the bobblehead, I feel like, is more for me right now.
Absolutely. Well, I was thinking to go even more selfish than that. Like, wouldn't the best thing to be honored right now would be, like, have a permanent seat at the 50-yard line or mid-court or something like that?
No, I don't feel like that gets the attention. Well, I feel like once a year I need bobblehead night at whatever arena or somewhere.
Okay, if you need more attention, maybe they just give you the job as the color commentator of your sport,
okay,
or whatever
right.
You made your name in. Like, isn't
boy.
That? But then you should have like the leeway to do that whenever you want to, as opposed to the obligation to do it every
when
game.
Necessary.
Yeah, especially like baseball. I was thinking like Dennis Eckersley with the Red Sox. That's a good gig he has, but now he's had like beef with the Red Sox players. If he criticizes them at all, and he has to do it 162 games a year, that's no fun.
It's a job. I want bobblehead night.
Okay. You're pulling hard for the bobblehead. Good luck. It's tied for last place right
now.
Sure,
there's certain people, maybe that Lady Peyton, who's right now going, he is a bobblehead already. Listen to him. I don't know what the heck he's talking about.
Interesting suggestions via the Shepherd's Glass inbox. Billy says, how about having the stadium named after me? Well, his last name does start with a B. A lot of people call it Willie B or Billy B over there at Williams-Brice. So you're pretty close, Billy. And Brandon's suggestion of the giant banner on the stadium like Spurrier had, he ended with, I'm humble. And Jimmy D says, I would like a food item named after me.
Also, not a bad idea. Okay, I'm with you. That'd be on all the concessions. It's something that seems pretty permanent.
You got to get a little more specific than that. Like, what type of food item you're talking about? Jimmy D has introduced us to donutology in your honor, Bill. So I'm guessing he might prefer a donut. Obviously, that would be your choice, correct? Are you going fancier than that?
Ooh, that's actually now.
You
see,
think about it.
Think about it
while we hear from Greg on the Love Chevrolet phone lines at 803-404-6100. Good morning, Greg.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Doing well, man. You?
Not bad, not bad. Listen, I was thinking a good, honorable way to, you know, be is really just like to be memorialized is have a scholarship named after you, you know? And even further than that, especially with Steve Spurrier, you know, every year, usually every year they award a walk-on, a scholarship. You could call it the Steve Spurrier, don't let anyone tell you you're just not good enough scholarship.
Okay, well played, sir. That's going back to Perry Orth telling you, you're just not good enough, are you? I like what Texas A&M does. They give out the jersey number 12, and that's like the 12th man. That's kind of their way of signifying. Like, to me, it needs to be almost more than a scholarship. If you're a football player, if you had a number attached to that, then everyone would know, like, you're that guy. What you giggling at?
Who started number 12?
What do you mean?
Exactly.
First ever.
Yeah, what was his name?
I bet Texas A&M fans know.
I think it'd be 50-50 on that. I don't know. It's a good question. I guess my point is, if you're going to give somebody a number 12, and it's going to be honorary, I want my last name on their jersey.
Oh, jeez.
You got to, man. We're honorary. It goes back to the bobblehead thing. I would want the bobblehead. And now that I think about it, now that I think about what exactly I'm wanting to be honored, I want one bobblehead night per year to honor what I'm doing. And that way my kids could get that bobblehead, and then they could take their kids to get that bobblehead, and their kids, generations on down the line, would get to experience. It would be a big night.
Would your bobblehead have a name tag?
Of course it would.
Okay.
Vital.
Holding a
donut,
drinking
and a cup of coffee
with his pinky out. The vanilla cupcake.
I got the 8 and the 5 year old Ainsley and Austin. They would love a bobblehead like that, and then they could pass it down to their kids, and they could pass it down to their kids.
Who
and
passes
then
down bobbleheads? What are you talking about?
See, you guys are not looking at this the right way. By the way, I've said bobblehead. What did you go with, Tim? I'm pointing at Tim.
No, I said outside the box. Like I want something tangible in my lifetime that I can take advantage of. Like. A seat, like if you give me
So you want a seat,
right? A permanent, like set. First of all, it'd have to be more than one seat. That would be a chip off. That would be a rip, right? They give you one ticket, and you got to buy the next one beside it. No, thank you. At least two. Like maybe if they named a suite after you, and you got the suite, that would be nice work. That would be a solid honor that you could actually take advantage of in your lifetime, and something that's very tangible and show your appreciation. But I like the idea of. You can hop on the broadcast anytime you want to. You are the permanent
carte blanche to just show up.
You have the guest.
Just come wandering in, middle of the third inning, middle of the second half, whatever it may be.
The platform, whatever you want. Like, or you have, if it's a baseball thing, you got an inning, a particular inning, it's wide open. You can come in anytime you want
to. You've been in your suite and having a good time, and all of a sudden you're like, that's it, I don't like that play call. Time to head up to the radio booth.
I mean, that is therapy. That's free therapy. That is a free platform.
But that's kind of Twitter, isn't it, now? I mean, if you're a big-time athlete, that's the same thing. I mean, you can just go.
But anyone has Twitter.
But that's my point. I mean.
That's why I'm saying this would be a special place for you, a special way to honor you that you get that.
Trey Dyson would go for that.
Are you kidding me?
He would just go busting into the booth. Watch out, Tommy. Watch out, Derek. Get out of the way. I got things I got to say right now. I don't care that it's 3-3 in the middle of the seventh.
It could become a tradition, like a seventh-inning stretch. You got the eighth-inning Dyson rant.
I see with Trey Dyson is getting like a broomstick or something and blocking so nobody can get in.
Right.
You know, so
he barricades the booth.
Exactly.
He's just in there. But that's basically what Tim's saying. You just come in. They got to get hand over the mic and step out of the way, and there you are just telling everybody
not honorary. That's like legit. You're getting stuff out of it. You got a whole thing going on.
What's Jen's? What'd you go
with? Jen, what do you think?
I don't know.
Are you going paint scheme? You want your face on a car in NASCAR?
Well, yeah, that could be kind of cool. Yeah.
The Jen race, where they just all the cars have your face on the.
No, that might be a little scary, but, you know.
Yeah, I'd love that you take it to the next level every time, every single
You guys got it, man, because if we're doing this, I want to be fully honored. Again, I want the bobblehead. I think the bobblehead is the best way. The statue, again, that's cool, and it will be interesting. Part of the reason we're discussing this, what are they going to do with Asia Wilson?
Mm-hmm.
Retire her jersey. I'd love for there to be a
charity something or other that, like.
Oh, humanitarian over there.
Well,
huh?
Yeah, I just.
Now you're making us feel bad. Is that what you're doing?
Well, no,
My kids are listening right now. Ainsley and Austin are listening, going, man, we're so ashamed of dad. His co-worker wants a charity, and this is a great person.
I think the best way to honor me is just really world peace.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be the best?
World peace, but maybe something to do, like a charity thing with a racing thing. You know, like they're
like a charity
combine
race?
Combine those worlds. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, charity. That'd be cool. Get on that.
Okay, but then when you have the race, you do have the possibility of injuries happening, right? And then isn't that just the...
That's what waivers are for.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
So you're saying it's fine as long
and
as it's for charity.
And I get to race in it, or I get to be like the pace
car. Like,
or...
I feel like she was very quick with that waivers right. deal. She thought it, this is...
this is not
there's
new.
Plans. There's plans in her living room right now for the Jen Jensen charity race.
Leslie just hit us up on the Shepherd's Glass inbox saying, I love Spurrier, but do we have to name the field for him? The indoor facility, the indoor practice facility is already named for Steve and Jerry Spurrier. Do we really need to name that after him as well? I think, well, the naming of the indoor facility came after this talk about naming the field after him. So I think there's plenty named after Spurrier at South Carolina. I don't see that field. It is odd. I know a lot of stadiums, football stadiums, have the name on the stadium, and then they have a field named separately, like at Florida now. So that would be really weird to have South Carolina's field named after Spurrier as well.
I know it's nitpicking, but didn't Spurrier and Jerry basically buy the naming right? I mean, they donated a pretty large chunk of money to
I'm sure not why they did it.
I mean, I feel like the university felt obligated
right.
to, okay.
Well, I think that was the compromise is what I'm saying, that Spurrier said, wait a little while to honor me at South Carolina. It's kind of feels weird. I don't want the field named after me right now. And then the indoor facility pops up. I'm like, oh, okay. Slap the name on that. It's different.
3 years later, do you think people would be willing to honor him now?
What do you mean willing to?
South Carolina's
been wanting to, right? And Spurrier has said,
fans
no, thank
have
you.
It. I think if we did a poll question tomorrow and said, would you like to honor Steve Spurrier? I think it'd be 50-50, if that.
Okay.
There are some fans who are still very bitter about the way
but
that thing
I
went
think
in.
We hear more from them than we do from most
do
fans.
Okay.
They're more vocal, and we get skewed a little bit. Because I think this is how that would go at Williams-Brice if it happened at the first game, Coastal Carolina. It would go very well because there's been enough time now. And what do you get at voicing that displeasure in that forum kind of thing? I think that's one of those things where you might start to be one of those guys and then you become that guy in the stadium and everybody's looking at it. Come on, man. Why can't you just clap?
I don't know.
I
mean,
in a public
okay,
kind of
let
thing?
Me ask you this. You said first game, if he's there on Saturday and they trot him out at halftime, and they give, I don't know, the Steve Spurrier halftime away, some kind of weird, they do something to honor him. What do you think the reaction is then? It'll be a smaller crowd. It'll almost be more of what you would consider your diehards because it's a spring game.
And I think more of that vocal minority that it
you think,
would express
displeasure. You think that's where it would come in?
I think that would be less welcoming than in an 80,000 opening day kind of deal.
So
if he's there on
Saturday, hide him in a box. I mean,
he's not hiding.
I don't know if people realize this. He comes to actually a lot of basketball games. He was here for, I think, I say a lot, like he there at every other one. Yeah, I think he was at 3 or 4, maybe 5 total men's and women's games this year combined.
But he just chooses not to be.
Yeah, he stays in a box, and nobody notices it unless they happen to look up and realize who he is.
Right.
And I mean, I think he's around here. Not that he's around here. You know, 30 days a year, but I think he's around here a little bit more than people realize.
Right.
And is still more active maybe in the university than, again, he's got a title with Florida, but I would wonder how that would go down on Saturday. I'll be out there. I've got the kids, and we're going to go. We're going to make a full day of it. We're going to do that in Disney on Ice and have a grand time, but I would wonder how the reaction to Steve Spurrier would be. I will say this. I think there's not going to be, now that Will Muschamp appears to have turned the program back around, win 9 games, go 9-4, and now there's going to be some expectations. People might be definitely more accepting, but it might even take one more year. I don't know. That's a good question. Do we only hear from the vocal minority on the bitterness and anger still towards what Steve Spurrier left,
it's not just that. It's that. How do you express that if someone's getting recognized? Are you going to boo the guy? Are you really going to?
Well, I mean,
in that situation, or are you just not going to do anything? You know what I mean? I feel like that's what that vocal minority would – it just wouldn't cheer.
In this day and age, I feel like it's – people would boo. I feel like people –
day and age, because it was just – boos just became a thing recently.
What? No, it's because people, like, feel they have more of a right to express their opinion.
See, I disagree. That's anonymous stuff on social media for the most part, where there's no one that can immediately, right beside you, tell you to shut up because you're not setting a good example for my kid or something like that. I think that's where we are in the 21st century.
I disagree with that. I actually wildly disagree with you on that. I think people in today's age feel more. We've kind of talked about this with your spring games are different. Tickets are free this weekend. But I think people feel an entitlement to, I paid this amount of money for my tickets. When I go to a game, if I want to boo Jake Bentley or I want to boo the offensive coordinator or the defense, I don't care who it is. If I want to express my opinion, I'm expressing my opinion. If you don't like it, you need to sit down. Mm-hmm. If you want to take it to me, we'll take it. We'll go at it right now. I think that you get more of that. It goes back to what we talked about.
Ask Todd Ellis about how fans express their displeasure to a Gamecock quarterback 3 decades ago now.
But it's not that I disagree with you that people weren't 3 decades ago not booing. It's just I think there's more of a sense of entitlement. I paid this amount of money now for my ticket, so when I go to the game, I can say whatever I want, do whatever I want. I'm going to let you hear it if we're not winning. I think today when you have fans go, look, there's some of the interaction we saw earlier this year with the NBA and fans and players. I think you see, it feels like you see more of that. Maybe it's because of the news cycle in 24 hours and when there's not controversy, but when you have interaction between fans and players that's in a negative light, maybe we see more of it now than we used to, and maybe that's part of it. But I do feel like that in today's age, when you go to a sporting event, there's more people who say, I paid so much for this ticket, I can do whatever I want here at this ticket, at this game, in this seat, and if I want to yell at the player, if I want to yell at the coach, I'm entitled to do that. And I don't feel like it was necessarily that way 20 or 25 years ago, speaking from the 35-year-old who didn't go to a ton of games.
I think we just know more of it now because of the social media and because everybody can put it out there. It's kind of impossible to gauge, though.
And David weighs in on the Spurrier thing on the Shepherd's Glass Twitter inbox. He said he never won anything here to deserve that, a bowl game, no championship of any type. That's going to be, I still think that there would be that contingent of people who would say.
There's an East Division, right?
No, that's true.
More than that had ever been done before and has been done since.
Good
Matt
point.
W. just hit us up. He says he's a Gamecock fan. Absolutely honors Steve Spurrier. If you want a supportive crowd, just have Marcus Lattimore introduce him.
Exactly.
Nobody's going to boo that.
Yeah, Lattimore and Connor Shaw. You want a bunch of... Yeah, I'm with you on that.
Oh, Ray Finkel says Spurrier deserves to be honored, but in time, still too soon. Give a minimum of 5 years after he left. When it happens, everyone needs to have been given sufficient time to detach themselves from the manner in which he left. Okay. Fair enough. Let's get back out to the Love Chevrolet phone lines now. Pat weighing in. We mentioned the Spurrier statue down at the swamp, one of the ways they chose to honor him. You've got another good statue for us, Pat?
Yes, sir. You guys ever seen the Arthur Ashe statue in Richmond, Virginia? It is a good idea gone terribly wrong. He was a great tennis player. They tried to honor him with a statue showing his tennis and his humanitarian givings, and basically it looks like he's threatening a bunch of children with a tennis racket and a book.
So get off.
Look it up. You'll get a good laugh out of it.
Get off my lawn or I'll hit you with my tennis racket and smack you with this book.
That's kind of what it looks like. Please Google it. You'll get a laugh.
Will do, Pat. Appreciate the phone call,
guys.
Man.
David Boyd weighs in on the Shepherd's Glass Twitter inbox. He would like to be honored with a golf hole built sharp dog leg left in honor of my dead hook shot.
That's pretty good.
Okay.
Maybe that will be a thing for golf courses now. To raise a little extra funds, you can buy your own hole.
There you go. To get design it, that actually would be pretty fun.
Craig hit us up on the Shepherd's Glass inbox as well. Says the Michael Jordan statue in Chicago is pretty cool. Again, I just figured out that I think statues are creepy. Just it's the eyes. It's totally the eyes thing. I don't like them looking at me.
I take it you've not that I've been, but then you wouldn't do well in one of those wax museums.
No, those things really creep me out. They're way too lifelike.
Okay,
right? Because if you're not really paying attention, you're like, oh yeah, there's something off about that thing. What is it? Oh, it's the creepy eyes. I never realized I had a thing about statues.
Bringing out some therapy for Tim Hill this morning.
Hey, Wednesday morning therapy. I appreciate you helping me. Big day in baseball set for tomorrow. Opening day. Quite the way to cap off spring training last night for the Toronto Blue Jays.
Oh, my! Get up, ball! Get up, and right on cue! What a way to cap off the spring!
Buck Martinez on the call there for the Toronto Blue Jays radio network. That was 19-year-old Vladimir Guerrero Jr. 19 doing it in Montreal, where the Toronto Blue Jays have capped their spring training now for the last 5 years, the same Olympic Stadium where his dad hit 230-some home runs as a Montreal Expo. Vladimir Guerrero Jr., that's a special baseball moment, and it's also a moment that makes me feel really old when the juniors start doing it. Like, Ken Griffey Jr. was fine for me because I didn't know Ken Griffey Sr. except for him being his dad and playing with his son there for a season, I think it was, with the Mariners. I knew Jr. That was my introduction. But, man, Vladimir Guerrero doesn't seem that old to me. And now that his son's doing it, 19 years old and having big league talent like he does is ridiculous, but not that surprising for the son of a Hall of Famer, I guess. But having that special moment, that was the only run of the game last night.
Yeah.
All game long.
It's walk-off.
Blue Jays and Cardinals, and that's how they cap the spring. That's got to make everyone who was wearing Montreal Expo stuff last night in Olympic Stadium. That's another thing that makes me feel old, is that I remember those days. I'm guessing you don't have much memory of the old Tim Raines Expos days, Andre Dawson,
Pedro.
The whole thing.
Pedro Martinez.
Okay.
I remember that. They were in line to maybe win, was it 94 World Series? They were
the strike shortened
a really
year, yeah.
good team, and obviously didn't work out for them.
Jim just hit us up in the Shepherd's Glass inbox, heard us mention when the Gamecocks went out to Nebraska back in the 80s. Jim says he was a student trainer on that field in 1987. He says he can confirm that the Nebraska fans were amazing. Made me a fan of that program for life, Jim says. When the game ended, we walked under the end zone stands into the locker room. Nebraska fans lined up on both sides of the walkway, clapping, cheering, wishing us good luck the rest of the season. Nebraska hadn't lost at that stadium in a number of years. We really came close to ending that streak. A late Keith Bing fumble, Jim says, ended the chances of that. But what a great game, without question. Jim says some of the smartest, classiest fans ever. I'm guessing more of the Nebraska coaches of recent history would probably disagree with where that fan base has come.
Yeah.
Bo Pelini kind of leading that charge, but that program, I'm trying to think of other programs who have really, Indiana basketball in my lifetime, kind of fallen off kind of like that one. It makes you appreciate the run of greatness. I think maybe Gamecock baseball fans
would,
come
We would
into
say,
that
if it wasn't for this past year, I think we would say Miami football.
How they've fallen off.
Yeah.
I'm with you.
If it wasn't for this year where they're all of a sudden in the playoff conversation.
But the
late
mystique
season,
of the whole environment, the program never really was there for Miami football. It's just really great players as opposed to the fans and the whole environment there.
Okay.
I think Nebraska had that. Indiana basketball had that in my lifetime. I haven't seen it here recently. Thanks for all the participation today. The Frank's Discount Tire poll question. Final results. How would you prefer to be honored? 41% of more than 200 votes going with statue.
Okay.
I guess no one else is freaked out by statues like I am. Street name finishing in a close second place with 38% of the vote. Bobblehead finishes in a solid third, sir. The picture in the beer foam in last.
Oh, well.
Thanks for listening. The Early Game.